Programmet i dag byder på musik som sædvanligt og står lidt i kulturens tegn. I dag har vi et interview, som Bjarne Kresnik har gennemført med en kunstmaler, Susanne Hartmann Fischermann. Og jeg har været på Louisiana til et stort anlagt pressemøde, hvor Louisiana har præsenteret både deres nye sponsor, hovedsponsor og de kommende udstillinger.
Ja, vi starter med et stykke musik, og det er noget med klezmerduo, der spiller her. Vi starter ugens magasin ved at bringe interview, som Marianne Wagner har lavet med to repræsentanter fra universiteter i Jerusalem og Haifa i forbindelse med projekt Uddannelse uden grænser, som blev afholdt i Bella Centeret i København.
Ja. Velkommen til Radio Shalom. Vi er ude i Bellacenteret i øjeblikket og skal tale med to israelske mennesker, som arbejder på universiteter i Israel. Den ene fra Jerusalem, den anden fra Haifa. Og vi skal høre, hvad de har oplevet her på messen, som er en messe, der hedder Education Without Borders. So welcome to Radio Shalom, welcome to Copenhagen, Mr. Shimon Lipsky and Mrs. Caroline Barents-Fuchs.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you for joining us here on the radio. I understand that you have been here a couple of days in connection with the education fair. And I guess the main purpose must be to promote the Israeli universities and to try to convince Danish young people to go to Israel and study. And how did you succeed in that purpose these 2 days?
Well, first of all, it must be clear that Danish students have been coming to Israel for a long time. At the Hebrew University, we had students come as long as the Thanks to Scandinavia Foundation is in existence, because this is a special foundation that was created in order to promote studying in Israel for Scandinavian students. And for the past 10-15 years, students have come in different numbers to Israel. So we're familiar with Danish students.
Yeah,
I think the difference this time is that for the first time we are being presented, so to speak, to high school students. Caroline told us, all her colleagues in Israel, that Danish government is now funding and encouraging students to spend time studying abroad. And that makes a new opportunity for us to approach students who did not come to us through the traditional ways, but maybe differently. And I must say that as far as we're concerned, the interest was great. We're very pleased with people coming and asking some very pertinent questions about the program, all the programs, and we have quite a few follow-ups we have to do for people who want to get more information. Hopefully it will result in bigger numbers for all of us.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, I saw you had already a big bunch of papers with names of young people who want you to contact them whenever you get back.
Sure.
We have a lot of students. Some of the students are more interested in short summer programs to come for like 4 weeks to study Hebrew or Arabic and spend the summer there in July or August. And some of the students are already thinking a little bit more ahead. Or they are going into university very soon and they would like to, as part of their 3-year bachelor's degree, they would like to spend some time, a semester maybe in Israel, as part of their education. And some of them are already in university, and one student came up, she's doing archaeology, she wants to come and spend a semester. Another one is studying anthropology, a third is studying politics. And these are what we call the untraditional students. These are students that are not our obvious audience. They don't have a Jewish background. They don't have Israeli parents. They've not traveled to Israel before. But now they suddenly see, oh, Israel, interesting. What do you have? We then present what we have, and they're like, oh, this could be an option for me. And this, I think, is the new thing about coming to this sort of event. Yeah. And, of course, we also have met a lot of students with a Jewish background, with an Israeli parent maybe, that knew about it through the different contacts that we have. We've been in touch with the Shlichim, and we've been in touch with the various Facebook groups for young Jews in Denmark, and all those. We have met those students also that have come to learn more about the opportunities for them to come and spend some time in Israel.
I had an interesting student today who came, and he said his father served in Israel on the Danish UN Corps, and he made some friends, and he always said that he should go and visit Israel because he had a good time when he was there. So now he's thinking of spending time in Israel too. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Is there any particular subjects that the students are asking about, or is it a lot of different?
It's quite representative of what we hear from other places. Business is very popular, marketing. But I heard quite a lot of people were interested in philosophy and history and some areas that seem to be not marketable very much, and yet they are interested in that. So that's very nice, for very refreshing for us to see seeing that sort of interest.
Yeah, because I read somewhere here that you can study as different things as political science and economy, as you said, but also literature and arts and dancing even.
Well, we are offering. I think there was one older woman who showed up for that. She's interested in modern dance. I don't think she's qualified, but I didn't want to tell her. but it was interesting because this is a. We brought brochures for all our programs, and we could tell which are the popular ones and which are not. Those who did not, nobody touched, and those who went very quickly. So this is one of them. But, you know, these are the amusing moments of work in something like this, which is very intense because you constantly have to be on your feet, and you have to be able to. Caroline is wonderful. She can talk with those people and give them all the details they want. Also because she speaks Danish, and also because she has the patience. We just say, "What are you interested in? What do you want? Where do you want to go? Good. Go ahead."
I think that what's special nowadays for study abroad in Israel is that in the past, Israel was presumed that it was the place to go and study Jewish studies and archaeology and history, and if you weren't into that sort of thing, then that wasn't really anything for you. Israeli universities today, really, between themselves and our five Israeli universities represented here today, we represent everything almost that is out there. That means that we cover everything from, of course, the traditional humanities, the Jewish studies, the history, the religion, Hebrew, but we're also offering Arabic, and we're also offering psychology and dance and law and economics and engineering. And there's really very few things. I'm trying to think right now if there's something that someone came up today and said, "I want something," and I couldn't. I think that biology or chemistry was the only thing, or something with computer science, that we really don't have anything in English by now. But everything else we really have. So students that are looking to study in Israel, that are law students or that are psychology students, or really there is, these programs are available and they're offered. And we are all the time developing new programs, looking into now business, economics. I'm sure that computer science for a country like Israel is soon going to be a program like that as well. So there really is so many opportunities, and I think that what we, the universities, are doing in recent years is that we're trying to promote Israel as a study abroad location like any other. Yeah. Again, it's not the place for the Jewish student who wants to study Jewish studies. It is for everyone. Come explore your roots if that's what you're looking for. Come and explore Israel and get to know the real story if that's what you're looking for. And if you don't know anything, then come and learn and come back and have a more nuanced picture about what's really going on in Israel, which is so much more than,
There is also a development now in all the universities. More and more courses are offered in English in the main faculties.
Okay.
Because they realize it's good for the Israelis to improve their English and to meet with foreign students, and it broadens the offer of courses that we give to students, because they are not limited only to what is offered in international schools, but they can actually go and study in the regular faculties with Israelis. So it accomplishes those two goals. And at the Hebrew University, this coming semester, we're going to have 25 courses in the regular program of the university in brain studies and in psychology and all kind of areas that before we could not offer it to students. So now they don't only come to us, as Caroline said, only Jewish studies and archaeology and history, but they can really expand and go to all the faculties, and it really opens up quite a few options for students.
Maybe we should just mention which universities have these international programs. It's the Ben Gurion University. I guess it's in Tel Aviv.
Beersheba.
The Hebrew University in Jerusalem, the Technion
in Haifa.
And Tel Aviv University and University of Haifa.
Yes.
So you have really lots of also geographically. All over the country.
It's also very significant that the five universities are working together. You would think that we would compete with each other, and many people are raising their eyebrows and saying, how come you're going together to a fair like this, and you're actually marketing your programs, you should be competing with each other. But the truth of the matter is that we found in Europe and in the United States that we work together and it serves really everybody. It cuts costs because it makes it cheaper for all of us to have one booth, or sometimes we even use one representative to represent all of us instead of sending five people to every fair.
Yeah,
and it has been a wonderful cooperation that is a model for also other areas within university marketing that they have not been able to take advantage of. We are very happy with the way it's working with
us. That sounds very good. It's also very positive to hear that you meet students without any knowledge about Israel, I mean, beforehand.
Sure.
Because you often hear that people from Denmark who don't know about Israel, they say, I think it's a dangerous place to come.
We heard that today.
You
quite
heard
a few
that,
times.
Yeah.
People came and
I
said,
imagine,
there is a war in Israel.
I said,
what war? He said, there are bombs, and said, you might hear that something is happening in the Gaza Strip, but we are far away from all these things, and life is as normal as could be.
Mm.
It's interesting what you are saying, because people actually could see, as they were passing by our booth, say, oh, Israel. You could see that surprise, they wouldn't expect to see an Israel booth there. And it's interesting that the Palestinians and a lot of students from Middle Eastern countries sort of felt to come and look at it. Some of them just looked and left. But I think every Palestinian or Arab student in this fair passed by our booth out of curiosity or out of other reasons, I don't know, but it was very interesting. You could just see them milling back and forth.
They liked our chocolate and our
yes.
dates.
Yes.
We don't blame them.
Yes.
We don't blame them
no.
at all. We welcome
it's
them.
It's very delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds as if you have had very good experience from this fair.
Yeah, so far so good. I hope the end results, when we actually see people following up and asking more questions for us, it will give an indication that this was a serious attempt on their part and on our part.
Yeah,
what are the criteria to get in to university? You have this degree or something?
Certain level?
Yeah.
We usually for our summer course, our language summer courses, to come and study Hebrew or Arabic, but our Hebrew programs are very big, of course. There you just have to be above the age of 18 and be a high school graduate. That's open for everyone. Now the semester programs are usually for students that are already in their undergraduate or BA education at their home university. They complete at least 1 year at their home university, and then they can spend a semester or a year in Israel as part of their education. The points they do while they're in Israel, the courses they do, will count for their credit at home, and it's not going to prolong their education. And they can, of course, get their government funding. SU, there are different scholarships that are available for Danish students today. There's actually quite a few scholarships available. So the students that come in that way, they're spending a year or semester. And then we have several, at all our institutions, several graduate degree programs, master's degrees in various topics. And for that today, the Danish government actually gives very large scholarships for 2 full years so that students can take their full degree abroad. So it's something that the Danish government is very much encouraging, that young Danes are spending, even if it's a month or a semester, and of course taking a full degree abroad, it's something that that is very much encouraged also by the Danish government.
Also, I think it's very important to mention that we are very concerned with the academic level of the students. We don't want the programs that we offer to become a leisure time from serious studying and coming to Israel in order to just enjoy the beaches and traveling and stuff like that. So we are very careful in terms of admitting students who show that they are serious students. We ourselves, the programs themselves, are making sure that we offer the students, in addition to the academic program, a whole variety of activities to experience Israel, like trips and volunteer work and workshops and all kind of things as part of their program, because we know that they're not there only to sit in a library and do homework and go to classes, but also to enjoy Israel. And it's really part that we are offering as part of the tuition.
Yeah.
And that's very important, because if the reputation of our program is going to be that you come to Israel to just have a good time, we might as well close business and
call ourselves something else than universities.
So we are
academic institutions. We do look at the students' grades and their academic background. We do look at their recommendations from their professors, and we also look at their motivational essays.
So what are the costs for a student who want to come to Israel to study?
It very much depends on the program. If we would get into all the details here, there's a lot of information. In general, short programs, there will be a tuition for $1,100, for example,
For the course.
For the course itself. Right. Then, of course, there's housing, and then, of course, there's the cost of living.
That's summer
for a
course.
Summer, for a summer program for a month.
For a month,
Then if you're spending a semester, again, it varies from institution to institution, but a full academic year will be something about $11,000.
$11,000 to $12,000.
But if you look at it, a Danish student can take their SU, the monthly pay with them. They can also get a scholarship from the Danish government of up to 40,000 kroners. And for young Jews, there are Massas scholarships that they also give extensive funding to students with a Jewish background. And the Israeli universities themselves have financial aid and scholarships. Mm-hmm. So you have to go out there. If you're interested, you will have to go out there and look for it and find out what form to fill out. But the help is there, and it's definitely doable.
Money is not an object. In other words, if somebody really wants to go to Israel, There is no obstacle in terms of getting to Israel. It might be a minimal expense on the part of the parents and the students.
Yeah.
They can
sounds as if there's a lot of economic.
In recent years, there are new opportunities that we didn't have that Danish students didn't have in the past that are there now, and we, the universities, if we're contacted by the interested students. They can contact us, we can help them, we can inform about it, we have the information available to us, and it's definitely something that can be done. Not while you're sleeping, but,
you have to be proactive.
You have to be proactive and ask questions.
It's always nice to hear that, the Danish government is supporting the students who want to go abroad.
You
hear so much about the EU, and you can go to different EU countries and get. But apparently, that's
why the government made the new scholarship, because they saw that Danish students went primarily to the EU, and there weren't enough students going to the Middle East, to North America, to Japan, to China, to South America, to these faraway places that are important to have students. To have students go there, so the government is actually putting all this money together. Also because there's not enough room for everyone at the Danish universities, but that's another issue. But really, to get young Danish students to travel abroad and really, really get them to go abroad, that's very important.
Okay. Yes.
Do you have a question?
No. I'm
satisfied.
I haven't.
Okay.
You came around.
Ja, den teknologiske udvikling er noget selv til vores lille redaktion her i Radio Shalom. I dag er det første gang, at vi har forberedt vores udsendelse på et nyt computerprogram. Så vi er meget spændte på, hvordan det går, og vi håber på jeres forståelse og tilgivelse, hvis de skulle smutte for os i nogle detaljer. Lad os høre noget musik.
Und dass der Rebbe Elimelech ist geworden sehr fröhlich Elimelech. Und euch getan dem Kittel und hat euch getan das Hüttel und gesicht noch die Fiedlers, die zwei. Und dass die Fiedel, dicke Fiedlers haben Fiedel, dicke Fiedel
Hobby fiddle, dicke fiddle, hobben sei. Ach, die fiddle, dicke fiddles, hobben fiddle, dicke fiddle, hobben fiddle, dicke fiddle, hobben sei.
Und aus der Rebbe, Eli Melech, ist geworden noch mehr frillig. Ist geworden noch mehr frillig, Eli Melech. Hat aufgemacht auf Dolle, mit dem Schammer schreibt noch Tolle. Und geschürt noch die Zimblers, die zwei. Und ach, die Zimbel, dicke Zimblers, hoben Zimbel, dicke Zimbel, hoben Zimbel, dicke Zimbel, hoben sei. Zimbel, dicke Zimbel, hoben Zimbel, dicke Zimbel, hoben sei. Und aus der Rabe, Eli Melech, ist geworden Gorstag frillig. Ist geworden Gorstag frillig, Eli Melech. Hat euch getan, die Twillen, und hat euch gewischt die Brille und geschickt noch die Peiglas, die zwei. Und aus die Peikel, dicke Peiglas, haben Peikel, dicke Peikel, haben Peikel, dicke Peikel, haben sei. Aus die Peikel, dicke Peiglas, haben Peikel, dicke Peikel, haben Peikel, dicke Peikel, haben sei. Die Fiedel, dicke Fiedlers, und die Zimbel, dicke Zimblers, und die Peikel, dicke Peiklers, Peiklana. Bleibt der Rebbe, Eli Melech, nebbe gar nicht gar so frillig, und schreit aus, oi mein Kopf, oi mein Kopf. Bleibt der Rebbe, Eli Melech, nebbe gar nicht gar so frillig, und schreit aus, oi mein Kopf, oi mein Kopf.
Ja, man kan godt sige, at vores program i dag er meget centreret på musik og billeder. Det næste indslag, det er et interview med kunstmaleren Susanne Hartmann Fischermann, som Bjarne Krasnik har gennemført for vores lyttere.
Det vi jo gerne vil høre om dig, det er jo lidt om, hvem er Susanne Hartmann?
Ja, jeg kan jo starte med at sige, at jeg er 57 år, og jeg har tegnet stort set, siden jeg overhovedet kunne holde på en blyant. Så det er jo det, jeg opfatter som min identitet.
Susanne, når jeg siger, at jeg gerne vil høre lidt om Susanne Hartmann, så er det også lidt om, hvordan dit liv har formet sig, fra du var barn og til i dag.
Ja.
Sådan. Der må være en eller anden årsag til, at du nu både maler og laver børnebøger og figurer til jul og i andre henseender. Der laver du formodentlig også figurer af den ene eller den anden art. Så hvordan startede dit liv? Hvor er du født henne?
Jeg er født i Jylland, oppe i Løgstør, og jeg er enebarn. Og jeg ved ikke, hvorfra det egentlig kommer som sådan med at have lyst til at tegne. Det har bare været lige så vigtigt for mig som at trække vejret hele mit liv. Og jeg har altså som sagt tegnet lige siden jeg kunne holde på en blyant, siden jeg var en 3-4 år og blev ved med det. Og ikke gjort ret meget andet. Og jeg har så heldigvis også kunnet leve af det i alle de år, så det er blevet til rigtig, rigtig, rigtig mange kilometer streger.
Så du er jyde?
Ja, de første to år så flyttede vi til